Let us turn in God's Word to Isaiah 53, Isaiah chapter 53. I want to leave with you verse 7 as we sit around this table tonight. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Brought as a lamb to the slaughter. You'll remember that the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading Isaiah chapter 53, and whenever Philip the evangelist reached him, he was actually at this verse. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he openeth not his mouth. And beginning at that verse, Philip preached unto him Jesus. So we have no doubt that it is about Christ, this verse, and indeed this whole chapter. And we are told here that Christ is as a lamb. Isn't that what the verse says? He's brought as a lamb. He's as a lamb, as a sheep. That is, he is pure. He is without spot and without blemish. He is, as we saw this morning, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God's provision, the harmless, the gentle, the meek and lowly Jesus, betrayed as a lamb. For the point of real resemblance is not so much in the lamb imagery, but in the lamb being brought imagery. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Not a lamb in the fold, not a lamb in the fields, but a lamb being led along, being brought, as it says in Acts, that portion that we read, he's led as a sheep, brought as a lamb. And so it's that we want to think about and to focus on, this being brought, this verb, led. Now we know the place where he was brought to. We know the place where he was led to as the lamb for the slaughter. He's led to Calvary. He's led to the cross. He's led to be crucified on the tree and to die. That's where he's led to. And as he goes, it says he goes silently. He openeth not his mouth. He goes as a dumb lamb. He goes willingly, that is. He goes without murmuring, without resisting, without fighting back, without running away, but quietly, willingly going. Now, the lamb in real life, he does it, as it were, stupidly, not sensible to what is to be ahead, not sensible to the danger, not sensible to the place of slaughter, but the Lord Jesus is very sensible of what lies ahead. He knows. He has received the cup to drink. He knows what he is receiving. He knows what he is being led to. He's not in darkness about the matter. And yet he is led. And there's no resistance. He's not dragged. He's not forced marched. He's led. Gently led. Easily led. Just going. Just following something. Following someone, being led. And of course, whenever we think of this verb of being brought and being led, we have to think of the subject. Who is leading him? Who is bringing him? Who is the one really in charge here that's bringing him as the lamb to the slaughter? And it's that really that I want to think about tonight. I want to reflect upon that. Who and what is leading Jesus to the cross? Now we could say it was the Jews, the Jewish leaders especially. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, we go to Jerusalem, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and the scribes. They'll condemn him to death and they'll deliver him to the Gentiles. So the Jews are leading him. The Jews have condemned him. The religious leaders are leading him to the place of execution by the Gentile court of Pilate, being led by the Jews. We read in Matthew 27, as we did this morning, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him. They led him away to Pontius Pilate. So, looking on visibly, looking at the physical, looking at what just the eyes of natural sight see, the Jews are having a part in this. They're leading the lamb to the slaughter. The Jews. You remember how we saw that, speaking to the children, Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. They gave him over, they led him, they brought him. And then Pilate, we could say Pilate led him, because it says in the Bible, when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So Pilate, in a sense, brought him. Pilate led him. And he goes as a lamb to the slaughter. And the Romans, of course, are very prominent in this, as they lead the way through the streets of Jerusalem to the place of execution itself. The soldiers, remember how they tormented Jesus? They stripped him. They put on him the scarlet robe. They plaited a crown of thorns. They put a reed in his hand and they mocked him by the knee and all the rest. And then they spit upon him. And then after they finished mocking him, they took off the robe. Didn't take off the crown. They kept the crown of thorns on him. But they took the raiment off him. And then they led him. They led him away to crucify him. As a lamb to the slaughter being led. So the Roman soldiers seemed to be doing it. As we look on in natural sight. But is that the whole story? Is it just the wicked leading Jesus? Is it just the wicked who put the lead on him and they're bringing him away to the cross? Is it just the Jews and the Gentiles? Are they in charge of all this? There are other things leading Christ there. There are other persons and things that are doing it too. The Jews and the Romans really are the instruments, the physical instruments in the providence of God. They are the forces at work doing this business physically. What is really bringing him? What is really leading him? What is really in this verb, being led as a lamb to the slaughter? And to see what's really in this verb, we have to look beyond natural sight. And we have to look by faith, with the eyes of faith, to see something more, to see what is the real story behind this, to see what are the real forces leading Jesus to the cross. So we're looking by faith. If we only look with our natural eyes, as many do, they only see Jews and Gentiles. And let me remind you, it wasn't only the Jews who were Jesus' killers. It was Gentiles too, and let us never forget that. But there's more to the story when faith looks on. Who holds the leads that lead Jesus? And ultimately, it is the Father. Christ submits to the Father. It is the Father's providence. It is the Father's decree. It is the Father's will. And so the Father goes before him. Like as we've seen in Genesis, the Father and the Son together. The Father leading the Son to Moriah, to the place of the sacrifice. And so it is here too. The Lamb is led by the Father. And so the leading, it didn't commence here in Jerusalem. It commenced in eternity. When the Father led him into the world. When he led him into the womb of the Virgin, when he led him into the cradle, and when he led him in every step and every path of his humiliation, and finally he leads him the last step of the way to the cross, and all the while he goes as a lamb to the slaughter. His Father leads him, meek and submissive, as we said in our sermon this evening. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And you remember the context in which he said those words. You know, Peter had a sword. He was going to fight for Jesus. He was going to stop him being led to the cross. He was going to interfere with this business and prevent it. And he says, put it away, Peter. The cup my Father has given me, I will drink it. In other words, I'm going the way he's leading me. The Father's leading. It's the cross that my Father's bringing me to. And so you can see his Father's hand in this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And having given his only begotten Son, he leads him the whole way to the completion of this work of redemption. Of course, our sins are tied up in here too, aren't they? This being led, it is because of our sins that he must be thus led by the Father. And so our sins, in some sense, are leading him. If he is to remove them, if he is to take them away, the Father commands and authorizes, as it were, the work, the sacrifice, the deliverance over to the cross, the leading. But it is because of our sins. Who was delivered? And it was, I think, the Father God in that, is in that verb, delivering him over. He was delivered, but why did the Father deliver him? For our offenses? For your sins and my sins? For our vile iniquities? So the Father is leading him to the cross because of our offenses. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us. He brought him to the cross. He handed him over to the sacrifice of the tree. His own Son he did not spare, but he led him the whole way. He spared Isaac's son. At the very end, he stepped in and he delivered Abraham from all of that had to be done, but he didn't deliver himself. He delivered up his son to the end. For he hath made him to be sin for us. This is God the Father. What is the overriding predominant thing in all of this leading? If we only see naturally without faith, we only see hate leading Jesus. We only see envy leading him. We only see murderous intent leading him. In Gentiles and the religious leaders, we only see this hatred, this malice. If we just see men leading him, we see human blindness, human depravity. We see wickedness. But with the eyes of faith, all we see is love. Pure love. Boundless love. As he submits to his Father's leading to the cross, in the midst of all of that hatred, human depravity, the love of the Father leading the Son to the cross, the great love of God is in this verb. And he goes being led silently without a murmur, for he loves his Father that leads him. And he loves the sinners for whom he goes to the cross. So love leads the way. Love, as it were, holds the lead itself. Love, as it were, directs the path. Love follows in the track. Humbly and submissively he goes in love. Not just the Father's love, but his own love drives him forth. His love for sinners. And so he is brought to this. What is before us, this table, the broken body and the shed blood, he's brought to that because of his love for us. He's not dragged, but comes willingly. Go silently. His great love brought him. And tonight we are brought. We are led. We are led to the same place, to Calvary. We are led to the cross. We are led to the table. We are led to the place of sacrifice. We are led to the broken body and the shed blood. Led to partake. Led to receive. led to enjoy this Saviour and Redeemer. For we meet at the cross. And so he's brought to death that we may be brought to life. He's brought to the cross that we may be brought to heaven. He's brought to the curse that we may be brought to the blessing. He's brought to the shame of Calvary that we may be brought to the joy and the glory of the heavenly celestial city above. He's brought to the thirst and the agony that we may be brought to the table and to the banqueting house and to the fullness. He goes, led to the cross that we may be let go. He who is led to the Calvary then leads us tonight to the table. And let us come to the table with the same force that brought the Lord to the cross. Love. Love. We love him because he first loved us. And he leads us to the table. Let us then just come to the table then. We'll partake of the emblems. I'll read the scripture portions.